the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, welcome to Pointing to the Saviour of the World on this third Sunday of Easter. Today's readings remind us that the resurrection is not just a story or a metaphor about something ordinary that happened more than 2,000 years ago. It was different in every sense of the word. It was so different that nothing has been the same since. Everyone who encountered the risen Christ became different. Look at how different in the first reading Peter had become after he encountered the risen Christ from the man who denied Jesus three times. He fearlessly and boldly puts his life on the line by going to the same crowd that condemned Jesus to death and preaches on what a gift we all have been given by Jesus' sacrifice. John in the second reading says that we have become different because of Jesus, our advocate, the Lamb of God who offered himself as his sacrifice to take our sins away. We are no more a condemned people. Today's gospel offers Jesus' explanation that these things were done to fulfill the promises God made to the prophets. In this gospel also, Jesus emphasizes the importance of the body, which we will explore in our reflection. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through Christ's saving action, his life, his death, and his resurrection, we have been offered the free gift of salvation. Like the members of that crowd, we too are invited to be witnesses to this great act of love. We are invited to be different, and we're invited to live out the good news, this new and better way of life without fear. Let's go tell the world that we are witnesses to this new and better life, the life of Christ. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter said to the people, "You are Israelites, and it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our ancestors, who has glorified his servant Jesus, the same Jesus he handed over and then disowned in the presence of Pilate after Pilate had decided to release him. It was you who accused the Holy One, the Just One, you who demanded the reprieve of a murderer while you killed the Prince of Life. God, however, raised him from the dead, and to that fact we are the witnesses. Now, I know, brothers, that neither you nor your leaders had any idea what you were really doing. This was the way God carried out what he had foretold. When he said through all his prophets that his Christ would suffer. Now you must repent and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lift up the light of your face on us, O Lord. Lift up the light of your face on us, O Lord. When I call, answer me, O God of justice. From anguish you released me. Have mercy and hear me. Lift up the light of your face on us, O Lord.
It is the Lord who grants favors to those whom he loves. The Lord hears me whenever I call him. Lift up the light of your face on us, O Lord. What can bring us happiness? Many say, lift up the light of your face on us, O Lord. Lift up the light of your face on us, O Lord. I will lie down in the peace and sleep comes at once. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. Lift up the light of your face on us, O Lord. A reading from the letter of Saint John. I am writing this, my children, to stop you sinning. But if anyone should sin, we have our advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, who is just. He is the sacrifice that takes our sins away, and not only ours, but the whole world's. We can be sure that we know God only by keeping his commandments. Anyone who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, refusing to admit the truth. But when anyone does obey what he has said, God's love comes to perfection in him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, explain the scriptures to us. Make our hearts burn within us as you talk to us. Hallelujah. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory be to you, O Lord. The disciples told their story of what had happened on the road and how they had recognized Jesus at the breaking of bread. They were still talking about all this when Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." In a state of alarm and fright, they thought they were seeing a ghost. But he said, "Why are you so agitated? And why are these doubts rising in your hearts? Look at my hands and feet. Yes, it is I indeed. Touch me and see for yourselves. A ghost has no flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. Their joy was so great that they still could not believe it, and they stood there dumbfounded. So he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they offered him a piece of grilled fish, which he took and ate before their eyes. Then he told them, "This is what I meant when I said, while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms has to be fulfilled." He then opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "So you see how it is written that the Christ would suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that in his name repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to this." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. There is a story told, a true story told about a judge in Yugoslavia who had an unfortunate accident. He was electrocuted when he reached up to turn on the light while standing in a bathtub. His wife found his body sprawled on the bathroom floor. She called for help. Friends and neighbors, police, everyone showed up. He was pronounced dead and taken to the funeral home. The local radio picked up the story and broadcast it all over the air. In the middle of the night, the judge regained consciousness. When he realized where he was, he rushed over to alert the night watchman, who promptly ran off terrified. The first thought of the judge was to phone his wife and reassure her using the funeral home phone. But he got no further than, "Hello, darling, it's me," when she screamed and fainted. He tried calling a couple of neighbors, but they all thought it was some sort of a sick prank. He even went so far as to go to the homes of several friends, but they were all sure he was a ghost and slammed the door in his face. Finally, he was able to call a friend in the next town who hadn't heard of his misfortune, his death. This friend was able to convince his family and other friends that he was really alive. A few years ago, dear friends, a priest friend and a brother of mine visited our home, and I showed him a horror movie about the afterlife. I used to use this in my philosophy and ethic lessons to engineer discussions about beliefs about the afterlife in my days as a secondary school teacher. Father was so painfully scared watching this that he ended up not watching the full thing. The movie was about an isolated family who were being haunted. The family consists of a nervous, manipulative mother and two children who can't go outside because of hypersensitivity to sunlight. The movie has the usual elements of a suspense and ghosts, but with a surprise twist at the end. In the final few minutes, you realize that the mother and children were indeed dead, and the ones haunting them were the living, flesh and blood people. Dear friends in Christ, on this third Sunday of Easter, we have another opportunity, one out of 50 that the Church offers this Easter season, to reflect together on the resurrection of Jesus. In today's Gospel, Saint Luke tells us that when Jesus appeared to the apostles, they thought he was an illusion, a phantasm. They thought he was a ghost, like the judge in Yugoslavia. However, it turns out he was and is real. He makes himself known through the breaking of bread. He reassures his disciples that he is not a disembodied spirit, a ghost. He invites them to touch him and even eats a piece of fish in front of them to reassure them that he was real, the Jesus they knew and loved. The risen Lord has not lost his physical humanity, although he is much more than a mere man. We cannot say he's anything less. It might initially seem odd that the reason Jesus put so much emphasis on his physicality. Jesus does all this with a purpose. The reason is that He does not want us to relegate him to some distant spiritual realm. He desires not just a spiritual relationship with us, but a physical one, a spousal union. Because Jesus rose from the dead with his body, he invites us to not just a spiritual relationship with him, but also to a physical or material relationship. Jesus underscores in this gospel the goodness of matter, its sacramental potential. Jesus wants us to have a physical union with him, specifically through a meal. Our relationship to Jesus includes a physical dimension. Something similar applies to our own relationship to fellow Christians, to our brothers and sisters, to our parents, to our neighbors, and to people in our community. Last Sunday, we read that the early Christians gathered for prayer, teaching, and the breaking of bread. Then it adds that there was no needy person among them, for those who owned property or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sale and put them at the feet of the apostles, and they would in turn distribute to each according to need. The gospel today rejects the spirit-body separation, what some theologians have called dualism. Like Jesus, we will not leave our bodies behind for long when we die. Our creed proclaims, in the credo, we say, "I believe in the resurrection of the body." Faith in the resurrection of our bodies is inseparable from our faith in the resurrection of Christ's body from the dead. He rose as our head, as the pattern of our rising, and as the life-giving source of our new life. If the spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, St. Paul tells us in his letter to the Romans, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his spirit that dwells in you. This exciting future has enormous implications, dear friends, for the present. How we use our bodies will have eternal consequence or significance. Dear friends, belief in the resurrection of the body already existed in Christ's time among the Pharisees. Jesus performed miracles of raising the dead to life as symbols of his future resurrection. And he associated these events with himself. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." For sure, our bodies are burdensome. They get tired. They get sick. Still, our bodies are not a cage we escape from. Our bodies will die, but like a seed dying, they will take a new form. Jesus promises much more than the survival of the soul. As we say each Sunday, I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. You might be thinking, then I am lost. I have abused my body and other people's in such ways. Well, the wonderful thing about Jesus is not just that he sets an exalted standard for us, one that we know in our hearts is true. Much more marvelous is that Jesus' own body has become the expiation for our sin. The question that Jesus put to his disciples, he addresses to each one of us too today. Why are you so agitated? And why are these doubts rising in your hearts? Look at my hands and feet. Yes, it is I indeed. Touch me and see for yourselves. A ghost has no flesh and bones, as you can see I have. We come to him, dear friends, with our impunities, with our impurities, and he gives us cleansing so that we can enter the presence of all Holy One. So, in God's eyes, matter is not second rate. During this Easter season, dear friends, we see that the reason Jesus insists on his physical reality and he invites us into a material relationship with him by receiving his body and blood. Jesus tells us in John chapter 6, verse 54, that whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Likewise, dear friends, we have a material relationship with each other, which we express, for example, by physical presence and financial sharing. Our material existence is good, and like a diamond, it is forever. God likes matter. After all, he invented it. Amen. As we continue to celebrate the resurrection, confident that Christ intercedes for us at the right hand of the Father, we make our prayers in his name. For the leaders of the church, that they may be blessed with the gifts of integrity, courage, and humility as they feed the flock that the Lord has entrusted to their care. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For all who are persecuted for the sake of the gospel, that the Holy Spirit will bless them as they witness to the risen Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the leaders of the nations, that they may work for the good of all and strive for peace, justice, and the flourishing of all humanity. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For our own parish community, that we will always provide a welcome for the Lord in the many guises in which we meet him. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the sick and the suffering, the homeless and the housebound, that Jesus, the risen Saviour, may give them grace and strength. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For all those who have died, we pray that they'll enjoy eternal peace and happiness with the angels and saints in heaven. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In the silence of our own hearts, let us bring the intentions of those who've asked us to pray for them, and our own personal intentions, and the intentions of those who have no one to pray for them. We ask Mary, our Mother, to intercede for us as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. God our Father, in Christ you have made us your daughters and sons. Give us the grace, we pray, to accept and live to the full potential you've created us. May we live the new life you have given us through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless us and keep us from all evil and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Let us continue, my brothers and sisters, to praise the Lord. Thanks be to God. O sacrament most holy, O sacrament divine, all praise and all thanksgiving be every moment thine. O sacrament most holy, O sacrament divine, all praise and all thanksgiving be every moment thine. O sacrament most holy, O sacrament divine, all praise and all thanksgiving be every moment thine. Thank you, my brothers and sisters, for joining me to listen to the Word of God and to pray. I wish you a peaceful and joyous celebrations of the third Sunday of Easter. Thank you for your continuous support. Please do like and share our videos. And if you haven't already done so, please subscribe. We finish like we began, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.